Well, good to see all of you. Thanks for being here this morning. Grab your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Before I get into my message, I want to give you a little bit of Bible study, discipleship, and so I want to talk specifically about the book of Proverbs. You know, the book of Proverbs is kind of a unique book in the Bible. Most books of the Bible, there's a storyline or there's a subject that runs throughout the entirety of the book. The book of Proverbs is very much different. Proverbs is a collection of proverbs or words of wisdom or truths. So you can read the book of Proverbs and one verse will be different from the next verse and they don't have anything to do with each other. They're just truths. So Proverbs is a collection of truths and they apply to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter how much money you got in your pocket. These are truths that apply to each one of us. And if you read the first seven verses of Proverbs, Solomon kind of explains the use and the purpose of this book. I think it's good for us to have context for the Bible study that we do, and so hopefully this helps you understand the book of Proverbs. This morning, we're going to look at one specific proverb. It's a truth, and it's found in the 29th chapter. So we'll be in Proverbs 29, verse 18. And let me read this to you, and then we'll unpack it a little bit. It says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." Kind of tricky language there. So let me give you the JEV. Now, if you're from Victory, you know that that means the Jody's expanded version. And so I'll put it in some language that maybe will help us understand what's being communicated in this truth. I've done some studying on this verse this week, going back to the original language. And here's what this verse states. Where there is a group of people, so when people get together, if there is no common direction, vision, or assignment in place, then those individuals in that group, they just kind of do their own thing. You just get a group of people together, and if they're not focused on one thing, everybody just kind of does their own thing. And there are times in life where it's okay to do your own thing. Just tell your neighbor, it's okay. Just do your own thing, all right? But what it says is, when there is, this is the second part of that verse, when there is a common vision, a unifying vision or direction, it actually unifies people, it brings fulfillment, and it even brings joy. So where there is a vision that a group of people are focused on moving together, it brings fulfillment and joy. That's the meat of that verse. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had a mission outreach in Lake Charles to a place called Port Mercy, where Friendships operates out of. Friendships is a powerful ministry. If you don't know Friendships, you need to go look it up. It's a crazy good ministry. They do neat things. Now, this mission we did a couple of weeks ago, last week they showed the highlight video of it, and we actually have an extended version of the highlight video on YouTube, so if you want to see it. And thanks to Omar for putting all that together for us. He did a great job filming all that and putting that together. Now, this mission was a huge success, but there's a reason why it was a success. Number one is there was a leader in place. The leaders for this mission were Matt and Melanie Evers. They're our missions directors here at Victory. And so Matt specifically was kind of the tip of the spear. So there was a leader in place. And he went to Port Mercy and met with the folks at Friendship. And if you've ever been over there, they have a big campus. And like I said, they're a powerful ministry. There's multiple ships there. They do ministry all over the world. It's really powerful ministry. But when you go there and you get on their campus, you quickly realize that this place is full of needs. I mean, there's a lot to be done there. There's always some. I don't think anybody who has ever worked for Friendship Ministries and woke up in the morning and said, I think we're done. It's just one of those places. There's always something to be done. But Matt and Melanie, they didn't go over there and say, okay, we're going to meet 1,000 needs. No, what they did was they found one need to address. They found one specific way that we could help. And so there's a leader in place, and then there's a unified direction, there's a unified goal. Because of that, they could join with 48 other people. We could send a team over there, 48 people. They can work all weekend there. And at the end of it, they will have accomplished something. And what they accomplish, of course, it blessed Friendship Ministries. Well, what's interesting, if you've ever been on a mission trip, you know this, that God accomplishes way more than just doing a project when you're living on mission. Because what you felt was what was happening in the team who were doing the ministry. I mean, these were tough conditions. It was hot. They're right on the water there. The mosquitoes. Come on now. Mosquitoes. In that kitchen where they were cooking, there's heat from women and there's heat from ovens, right? I mean, it was a little, God bless them, the ones who cooked in there. So, I mean, this was kind of intense. But what was interesting is in the middle of all that, the smiles and the laughter and what was being accomplished, and there was a sense of fulfillment and joy in the people who were doing the serving. Why? It's because there was a vision and there was a leader, right? And so this is kind of the spirit of that verse. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because I want to take that thought and I want to lay it over family, over the subject of family this morning. The title of my message is Family on Purpose. Now, family is probably the most beautiful, powerful institution that God has ever created. I mean, I love the church, but family. Family is powerful. There's enormous potential in family. I mean, when you have a godly man who becomes a husband and a father, and a godly woman who becomes a wife and a mother. And when those two come together and they produce offspring in a godly household, listen to me, there is no greater environment to raise healthy children in than the home of a godly husband and wife. It's just so powerful. But because it's so powerful, here's what you need to know. And if you don't hear anything else I say, listen to this today, ready? The devil hates family. He is after your family. Why? It's because God designed it. And whatever God designs, the enemy wants to distort, it wants to pervert it. So when the enemy saw the potential of the family, he said, I gotta put a bullseye on that. If I can destroy the family, if I can hurt the family, the ripple effects will move all throughout society. And I submit to you today that some of the crises that we are facing today stem back to the brokenness of families. And I want to tell you this, I'm not here to condemn anybody. Not here to condemn anybody. It's to motivate us. If we find ourselves in a situation where my family is not where it should be, then we are not here to judge you. Can I hear a big amen? We are your cheerleader. We are on your side. But I want to today to maybe motivate you to make some changes in your family. When a couple asks me to marry them, I do premarital counseling. I struggle. I really don't like premarital counseling. Because usually they're just looking at each other and they're so in love. And I'm talking about problems and they're like, what? Not us, we're in love. This is my soulmate. I'm like, okay, just wait a year or two. But I do premarital counseling with them. In the first session, I bring them through what I call drawing the blueprint. Drawing a blueprint. How many of you know it's easier to build something if there's a blueprint there, right? And so I talk to them about drawing the blueprint. In other words, are you compatible? Are you wanting these two people, two lives coming together? Are you moving in the same direction? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And so if you got your ideas and I got my ideas, you have your values, I have my values, you have your priorities, I have my priorities. Listen, one of my favorite quotes, all conflict comes from unmet expectations. When we didn't get on the same page before we did this, conflict is coming. I'm a prophet this morning. Conflict is coming to your world, right? Another one of my favorite quotes is, aim at nothing and you'll hit it every time, right? And so what I'm trying to do with these couples is get them off on the same, on the right foot. Are we moving in the same direction? Are we going to be trying to build the same thing? So I like to help families move forward in that way. But I think there's a crisis in the family today. I think there's crises that even attach to the family. A lot of the stuff we see in culture that kind of scares us, I believe it can be traced back to brokenness in the family. All the confusion that we see in culture, like gender confusion and sexual confusion, again, no condemnation, but please listen to me. It's tied to the brokenness of the family. There's a crisis of manhood today. There's a crisis of manhood. There's men who were doing the thing, but there's real no purpose attached to it. If your only purpose in life is to live the American dream, you are falling short. If all your life is about going to work so we can make some money, so I can buy some things, and so we can have some experiences, if you're not living for anything bigger than that, you're missing it. There's a crisis in manhood. There's a crisis in womanhood. And I think we're raising generations of kids with no purpose. And they spend their life watching people do goofy things on TikTok and playing video games. And they don't have any real purposes, which is why our colleges are on fire right now in America. It's a distorted purpose, but it's a purpose. And there are people riding on college campuses right now. And again, they're pursuing the wrong purpose, but it's something. Our young people are hungry for purpose. And that comes from the family. It comes from doing family on purpose, understanding that we were created for something. And so I just want to look real quick. I want to do something I often do. Go back to the book of Genesis and look at the first few chapters of Genesis, because in Genesis, we see God's original design for family before it got messed up. So let's look at the original design, and then we'll make adjustments from there. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God said, "We are going to make a human male. We're going to make a human male, and we're going to create him in a very specific way." Listen to me, men. You were crafted for a specific purpose and in a specific way. The way God wired man, he wired him physically, he wired him emotionally, he wired him spiritually. It was a very specific way that God created man. That's why gender is not fluid. God created man and a man in a very specific way, and he resourced him. He resourced him first with his image. You are resourced to bear my image. Secondly, you are resourced with the potential to have dominion. Just turn to your husband and say, "You are powerful. You're just a powerhouse." That was a good opportunity for you ladies. Come on now. So God creates man, and he created him specifically, but why did he create him the way that he created him? Look with me in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Listen to me, church. God had a specific kingdom agenda for man. And so God perfectly created man to be able to accomplish the kingdom agenda that God had for him. So here's man now. He's created in a specific way. He's given a task. What happens next? Here's the good stuff. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "This man should not be alone." That was funny. Sorry. Said, "I will make an helper comparable to him." If you read that in the King James Version, it says, "I will make a help meet for him." And this is one of my biggest pet peeves when people misuse that term. Like, "This is my help meet." Well, what you need to understand is help is the noun. Meet is the adjective that describes what type of help she was. She was a help who was meet. In other words, not that way. Should I keep going, or yeah, not stop there? Okay. So she, in other words, she was perfectly designed, because remember, God specifically created man, and then he specifically created a woman, and he created her with all the complementary gifts to assist her husband. She was created to help him, but listen to this point, not just help him do anything. He can wash his own dishes. No, I'm just kidding. She's not just somebody there to just help with random things. Please listen to this. She was perfectly created to help him accomplish the kingdom agenda that God gave him as a man. That's what she was equipped to help with. And some of us men, now we're griping about this woman. Maybe you've just never given her anything to help you with that was attached to the kingdom of God. Maybe what you're asking her to help you with just comes out of your own ambitions or your own desires or what culture says you ought to be doing. Now listen, the man didn't come up with his own agenda. God gave the man his assignment, and then he gave him the woman to help him. And then so you have this thing in situation now, this family there, and then they have offspring. And what happens? All the offspring just kind of fall in to the kingdom agenda that God gave to the man who is the leader. The man shares it with the wife. She comes alongside and begins helping him. All of a sudden, they're doing something. They're not just doing life. They're not just on cruise control. No, they're on assignment in the kingdom of God. And what you'll find is, men, you'll never be more fulfilled than when you are doing what God has called you to do. You'll never see your wife walking in such rhythm with you until she is helping you in doing what God called you to do. That's how it was created to work. So we see the design for family. That's just how God made it to work. You know, Lori and I got married in 1991. That was a long time ago. Some of you weren't even around back then. In 1991, we were just kids. And the first 12 years of our life or so were pretty normal. I mean, we were in ministry, so we worked up here, and our life was ministry. But we were just doing life, and we lived out in Carlos. And we were on some shared property with my in-laws, raising kids out there. And it was great. I mean, just the perfect little life, right? I was doing a lot of cowboying back then. I was team roping and doing some other stuff. And so I had horses and trucks and trailers and saddles and ropes. And the kids had dirt bikes and bicycles and skateboard ramps. And we had a pond in the front yard. They're swimming in like little country kids, you know. So the perfect little carless life out there. And in 2005, I felt the Lord say something to me that was going to disrupt all of that. I felt the Lord call me to go to Bible school, which was pretty unusual because what I was going to school for was for worship leading. Well, at the time, I was working here leading worship. So it's like, why am I going to quit my job and go to a school to get qualified to do the job I'm already doing? But that's a kingdom thing, amen? So we pack up our little family and we sell all the stuff in Carlos. The tears as the dirt bikes leave the property, right? We sell all that and we move to Dallas. So this, all these little country kids who are used to running around barefooted in the cow pasture, they're now living on the second story apartment in downtown Dallas, right in the middle of the concrete jungle and not the good part of Dallas. It was a shock to their system. They weren't really excited about it, but there was always this understanding, even as the kids were navigating this, is that this is what God has called our family to do. And so in 2005, we left and we lived there on campus, and we were there for a year. After that, in 2007, we moved to Colorado because we had met a family in Bible school who that we felt like the Lord had hooked us up with. This family was, they were from Colorado. They were moving to Belize to build a children's ministry, and we felt like the Lord had called us to assist them. So after Bible school, we moved to Colorado with them. Two families in one house. Listen, you can like somebody, but when you move in with them, it was, I mean, it was beautiful because it was Colorado, so there was the excitement of Colorado, but it was just life. And there was good days and bad days, and there's laughter and there was tears, all that, a lot of things happening. But here's what we all knew. This is what God called our family to do. In 2000, or the year after that, in 2007, my dad was pastoring here at the time, and he got diagnosed with cancer. So we moved back home. My brother and I ran the church as my dad was getting treated for his cancer. And so the kids were glad to be back here again, glad to be with family and friends. But there was always this understanding, this isn't where we're staying, because God's called us to do other things. So we lived here for a year. Then in 2008, we packed up all we had, which wasn't much anymore because we'd liquidated everything. We got in a school bus, in a caravan of different buses. We left here, drove into Texas, all the way across Texas, into Mexico, all the way through Mexico, went into the northern part of Belize, then drove all the way south to the southern part of Belize. 7 days of traveling through Central America. I'm still recovering. I'm sorry, I can't. This was tough, right? And even in a long 7 day trip, there was just the understanding, this is what God called us to do. This is what God called our family to do. And we get to Belize and the home that we lived in, praise God. This home was, they had solid walls around the bedrooms and bathrooms, but the rest of the house was just screen, right? And there was no ceiling in the house. Like you looked up and it was just the tin roof and the old rough cut rafters up there, right? And in the rainy season, it would rain during the night, and it rained hard. And like there's stuff falling out of trees. You think the world's coming to an end, banging on that roof and the rain. And if it was windy and it was raining particularly hard, the wind would blow the rain in through the screen, and we'd have to get up in the middle of the night and move the furniture to the middle of the room, standing in about an inch of water because the rain was blowing in into our house. That was our experience in Belize. My kids, you know, it's funny. I was telling somebody this last night. Our front door on that house, it was a screen door. Remember those old screen doors? Yeah. Every night before we could go to sleep, Laurie would ask me, Jody, did you lock the door? Now listen to me. Remember these old locks, the little thing like that? That was the deadbolt on our door. And you literally could have pushed your finger through the screen and pop it up. But by God, we were not going to sleep if that door wasn't locked, right? It was a two-bedroom house, and the kids' room was really tiny. We had these two twin beds. We have three kids. We had two twin beds, and then the trundle bed was under one of the twins. So at night, you know, we'd pull the trundle out, pop it up. When you pop that up, the whole bedroom was beds, like there was no floor space, it's just bed. And we had the bug nets because the bugs were so bad. Don't you want to go to Belize? So one night we go in there and we're tucking the kids in, about to put them to bed. And when we walk in, we find that all three of them are in there in tears. All our kids sitting there crying together. It's a few weeks after being there. Laurie says to them, what are y'all crying about? And I don't remember who the spokesman was, said, this was, I said, why do we have to be poor? And we said, hey, we're not poor. This is what God called our family to do. After that, we moved to Austin, planted a church in Austin. And why am I telling you all this? Just to make you laugh? No, here's what I'm telling you. If you talk to my kids right now about all, because about 8 years of our life, we were kind of nomadic. We went from here to there for about 8 years of our life. And our kids were with us the whole time. And if you ask them about it, they'll tell you they are traumatized. But then they'll also tell you a bunch of stories and make you laugh. But here's the point. Not one of them would trade a minute of that. Because here's what they knew. It's not what I'm comfortable with. It's not my desires. It's not how I choose to live my life. LaFleurs, we are following the call of God on our lives. We are pointed in a direction. We're not blown by the winds of comfort. We've got a destiny and an assignment from God. And what we found is when I, as a leader, would hear from God, God would give me a direction. I have shared thoughts with my wife before, you know, had some ideas. Hey, baby, what do you think about this? And often I'd get a, There's never been a time when I've gone to my wife and said, baby, I feel like the Lord said. When I said that, when I heard from God, I just felt her stand right up next to me and say, just tell me what it is, because the answer is yes. A woman's greatest need is for security. And there is nothing that makes a woman feel more secure than having a husband who hears from God. Amen. And so we had all those experiences. My kids will laugh about it and they'll tell you it all, but really we wouldn't trade a day of it, because it's just what God had called us to do. It may not have been what we wanted to do, but it's what God had called us to do. But there's fulfillment and even joy in coming underneath a God-given assignment or a direction for a family. It'll unify your family. It'll give your kids purpose, I promise you. When a family gets a vision or a direction from God, it begins to move off in that purpose. Last weekend, my only daughter got married. I have two sons who are already married, and both of them, you know, obviously are boys, men, and so they are still LaFleurs. But my daughter got married, and she is no longer a LaFleur. It's not going to say that on her driver's license. She's going to be a Trosclair. But one of the wedding gifts we gave my daughter and my son-in-law, we gave them a Bible. Lori had gotten a Bible for them. And she got it engraved and all kind of neat stuff in the day of their wedding. And we were going to present this to my daughter. And so Lori asked me, hey, Jody, would you write something in the Bible before we give it to them? And I'm 52 now, you know, and you see the world differently at 52. You're just a little smarter. I'm sorry. You're just, no. But when I was thinking about what to write in that Bible, here's where my mind went. I'm not just writing this for my daughter or my son-in-law. I'm writing it for my grandchildren who are going to read this, and my great-grandchildren who are going to read this, and my great-great-grandchildren. And so I was very careful about what I wrote in that Bible. And I'm not going to tell you word for word, but here's what I wanted to indicate. Is that, Gracie, your last name isn't LaFleur anymore, but you are still a LaFleur. And LaFleurs live on purpose. And LaFleurs understand that this is more than just a book. LaFleurs understand that what's so valuable is the truths in this book and the God of this book. And so I wrote in her Bible reminding her who she is and what her family stands for. Now, why am I telling you all this, church? Here's my point. Get it down to this. Men, I don't want to call you out this morning, but I do want to call you up. I want to call you up. You may be doing fine in your career. You may be accomplishing a lot in your world, but here's my question to you. Have you gotten a kingdom assignment from God? Do you know what God has called you to do? Have you taken the time to consult him? Or are we just, again, acting out of our own ambitions? This is what I want my life to look like. I encourage every man in here to make a determination that I'm going to get before God. I'm going to get before God's face, and I'm going to ask him to tell me my kingdom purpose, my kingdom destiny. Men, we need to hear from God. And then it's our job to communicate what God said to our wife. And I promise you, you will find another gear in your wife when you begin living out kingdom purpose in your family. Without a vision, families just kind of wander. And we just kind of doing things. But God's design is that he would give the agenda and that our lives would point toward it. And I'm telling you, there's joy and fulfillment in living life on purpose and giving unifying direction and purpose to your family. You may not need to go to Belize. God may not call you to the mission field. In fact, it doesn't matter what God calls you to. Some of you, the job you are in right now is the exact job you should be in. We just need to hear from God on how to do that job with kingdom purpose. Understanding that it's that everything I do, every word I say, every contact I make is part of a kingdom agenda. I know businessmen who are successful in business, and I congratulate them from that. But I know people who understand that the reason for their success in business is attached to the kingdom of God. They see the influence. You know, when you're successful in business, you have influence. And they learned how to use that influence for the kingdom of God. The resources that are in their hands, they learn that this is not mine. I don't own any of this. I'm just a steward of it. And so it doesn't matter what you're doing in your life, as long as it's attached to the kingdom of God. And I promise you there's a level of fulfillment and even joy in it for you when we do it that way.